So as we get started today, I'm going to invite you to open up your Bible once again to the book of Luke, chapter 22. And today I'd like to, God put in my heart to talk about it. If you see the title of the message, it says, "Know Jesus, no passion." And you know that passion is a word that we've been talking about this whole year. Passion is a word that that our Lord has filled our hearts. We are to love our God with all of our hearts, all of our strength, all of our self, everything. That is how we are to love our God. And when we demonstrate that passion, no matter what we do in whatever activity, in our daily interactions with individuals, we know that if we have that passion, the love that God demonstrated in sending his son to die on a cross for us, then that same love, that same passion for reaching out for those lost souls, we'll be able to convey that. So in today's message, we know Jesus, you're going to know passion. So looking at scripture in chapter 22, verse 54, the word of God reads like this. It says, "Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest." And then this last statement says, "Peter followed at a distance." So let us bow our heads in prayer and let us unite through prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace once more, Lord. We thank you, Father, for allowing us through the blood of our Lord Jesus to now come before you, Lord, and present these offerings of praise and worship, Lord. To offer to you, Lord, a spirit, a thankfulness to because of everything that you have done, Father. We thank you, Father, for always being with us, for protecting us, Lord. And I want to just put in your hands, Lord, a special prayer for all of our brothers and sisters at this moment that find themselves battling some sort of sickness, disease. Oh, Lord, I ask that the blood of our Lord Jesus that was shed on that cross, oh, Lord, was not only for our forgiveness of our sins, but also to heal our wounds, Lord. And we believe that the blood of Jesus can cover all infirmities, can heal us from all diseases, Lord. And we just ask to you that your mighty hand, Lord, just extend over all our brothers and sisters, Lord, that right now need your presence, need that divine touch, oh Lord, to heal and restore their lives, Father. We place ourselves in your hands, my Lord, because that is the best place to be, Lord. We thank you for that, Father. Now I ask you, Father, to have your Holy Spirit just touch my lips so that the words that may come out of my lips, oh Lord, may they glorify you always, Lord. But also, Lord, may they be a food sustenance for our people, Lord, for your people, Lord, that are in need right now. We thank you, Father, in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So getting to know Jesus is getting to know love. Right? Because the word of God tells us in John 3:16, he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." And out of love, God has given to us, to humanity, to broken humanity, to sinful humanity, he has given to us his most precious gift, his son that came down from heaven. He was sent down to heaven to die on a cross for us. And for us to really not know who Jesus is, I think is kind of hard and difficult, really, to know that somebody loves you and has expressed his love that much to you, and we totally ignore this person. So in today's message, I want to reach out that you may already know Jesus, or you may have heard of Jesus, but I don't want you to just hear of the Jesus. I want you to know Jesus, because when you truly know Jesus, your whole behavior changes and now becomes filled with a passion to serve him. So C.S. Lewis said this: "Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The only thing Christianity cannot be is moderately important." And C.S. Lewis, what he was trying to say here in this statement is either you are of Christ or you're not. You either are of the Lord or you're not. I mean, there's only really two positions when it comes to knowing Jesus. You are either standing under the cross or you're not. I mean, there's this kind of understanding out there that, you know, we can follow Jesus, we can know of Jesus, we can see of Jesus and not really be part of Jesus. And that really isn't it. You're either of Jesus or either of God or you're not. And that's where we are. Some of us are standing underneath the cross. Some out there may not even know what that cross represents or who Jesus is. You might have heard the stories of a Jesus. You might have heard the stories of this good and wonderful, I'm going to put in quotations, man. But when you begin to know who he really is, you know that he just wasn't man. He was also God himself in human form, come down from heaven to die for you and to die for me on a cross. So if you are with Christ, there's no such thing, as I was saying, to really walk in the background. I mean, when we look at the story of Peter and his dealings when Jesus was captured and then taken through the several trials, I mean, Peter was really following at a distance. He was just the observer. He was the one just looking out and being out there, but not really being next to Jesus, not really standing up for Jesus, but he was really just laying out in the back end. I mean, if you are with Christ, then Christianity is of infinite importance. And that's what C.S. Lewis was saying. And of course, and if you're not, then it's not. Then Christianity is of no importance. Let us be serious about this. Some think that the cross, with the same casualness that they feel about a bowl of oatmeal. I mean, they see the cross and it's like, two sticks together. You know, what does that mean? I mean, they zone out what the preacher tells them, when the preacher tells them those familiar stories about Jesus' death. It was at the cross that we fell in love with the one who loved us enough to die so that we might live. It is also at the cross that we regain the passion, by reliving the scenes of Jesus's final week. And here is where we are right now. We're at a point right now where, I mean, today is April 5th and it's mostly known as Palm Sunday. Next Sunday, we will be celebrating the most glorious day in which the Lord defeated death and resurrected for God's glory. And that is Resurrection Sunday. Greatest day in history. And we will not allow ourselves, just because of the times that we are currently living, to not celebrate his victory of resurrection. So today is Palm Sunday, and really what today talks about is really the whole next week, which is commonly known as Passion Week. This is where we remember all of the events that our Lord endured that all led up to his resurrection. Every single day, there's something that was happening that led up all to his crucifixion and eventually into his resurrection. The passion, how Jesus lived, and the passion of how he died is mostly what this week is what we're emphasizing. We also share in his passion when we come together and we worship him. We also share in his passion when we all come together and we proclaim the gospel. These are all events that are musts as Christians. These are all events that we as Christians and children of God, we must all be doing. We must always worship the Lord. And we must always share the gospel of good news to all those that are in need. So if we keep this in mind, if we keep this passion word, we'll see that the base for passion is really, truly love. I mean, you can't go around it. The base for passion is love. We can bring, and this, when you begin to understand this, you can begin to understand the reasons why our Lord did what he did. I mean, a lot of the times we just ask questions, why? And we don't know. You know, we come up with those answers and we say, Lord, why this? Lord, why that? But when it comes to Jesus's actions on the cross, when it comes to Jesus, why he came down to earth and in the form of a man to suffer like he did. And some of us can look at it and we see all what he endured with, all the torture, all the pain. We can sometimes begin asking, we say, why, Lord? Well, when you understand passion and you understand love, then you understand why Jesus did that. For example, why did Jesus allow himself to be mistreated, tortured, and sacrificed? Why? Because of passion, because of love. Why did he leave his throne of glory to come and suffer for undeserving sinners? Why? Because of his passion, because of his love. Why did he not defend himself from the cruel and satanic-fueled accusations in this last week? Why? Because of passion, because of love. Why, while being nailed at the cross, did he raise a plea of mercy unto God for his accusers? Why? Because of passion, because of love. I mean, why did he have to die for me? Because of passion, because of love. See, You'll never know godly passion until you fully know Jesus Christ. And that is what, and that is our intent. Why our Lord? Why we know those that are his children, we know this, but we need to start spreading and letting other people know that this is why Jesus Christ loved him. So if he needs to, if you want to understand this godly passion, then you need to fully know Jesus Christ. I mean, some may say, yeah, I know of Jesus, but that doesn't really mean that you know Jesus. See, all of our lives, and you may have been out there at a church, visited a church sometime out there, and or may have heard somebody else talking about Jesus. So you may have heard of this Jesus, but you don't really know who he is. I mean, we can be in the church and hear of Jesus. We can hear the stories of Jesus and what he did. But if Jesus, stays in our ear and is not invited into our heart, then you will never know of this Jesus that you have been hearing about. See, and it's a big difference just to hear him versus having him inside your heart. I mean, the book of Revelations, chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock." Notice what it says. "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." See, a lot of the times we pass our lives just hearing of this Jesus. We pass the time, especially now during Passion Week, we hear a lot of Jesus. But now we are invited. He is knocking at our door and he is knocking at our door and saying, "Here I am. Can you open your heart to Jesus and now begin to build a relationship with him?" Because really and truly, that is what he is saying. "I want to form a relationship with you. I don't want to be on the outside just knocking in. I want you to open this door and I want to form a relationship, a much deeper relationship, a much more intimate relationship with you." The book of Exodus tells us, chapter 6, verse 7, as the people from Egypt. He says in 6:7, he says, I will take you to be my people and I will be your God. And you shall know, here it is again, you shall know that I am the Lord your God who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. You see how important it is that once you know God, once you experience God, once you fully embrace God, once you fully embrace him, then you will begin to know who he really is. As you study the scripture, you will begin to realize that God's true desire for us is to get to know him in a much deeper and intimate way. Really, that's all God wants. God really wants to just touch your heart and allow him, his son Jesus, his most beloved person, his son, to allow him to now come into your heart and now begin to experience Jesus. It's not more hearing of Jesus. It is now beginning to experience more of him. He has this open invitation throughout his word to get to know him now at a personal level. I mean, some may understand that salvation is all about opening up your heart and accepting Jesus as your personal savior, but it goes way beyond that. You know, it's much more beyond that. It's living for him every single day of our lives with the passion and the love that he has demonstrated towards us. I mean, we are to give our lives in passion and love, serving him for his glory. Serving him for his glory. Because you know what? Let me tell you this. The more you know Jesus, the more you will rely on him. The more you know Jesus, the more you will trust in him. The more you know Jesus, the more you will depend on him. And the more you know Jesus, the more you will love him. I mean, we don't get that from just hearing of Jesus. You only get to experience the faithfulness, the reliability, the trust, the dependency, and what true love is all about when you begin to form a relationship with Him. Stephen Stoffelson, a missionary pastor, wrote this: "Too many people, including Christians, see God differently than what the Bible teaches. Many people are afraid of God, yet not in a healthy fear of the Lord. Often people see God as someone who's waiting to punish you the minute that you do something wrong, as if He's standing over you, just waiting for you to mess up. However, God already knows that you're going to mess up. He's not waiting to punish you, since Jesus was punished in your place." How many can give glory to that? I mean, we don't come to God when we are all perfectly well and there is no problem. God is saying, "I want you to come just as you are. I don't care about what you have done in the past. What I care is the now and how now we're going to build this relationship together." And when you begin to understand this loving God, this caring God, this Jesus that gave His life for you, you will know that it's not the same one that you have constantly been hearing about. In our scripture verse, it says that Jesus, they arrested Jesus, and Peter was just coming along. I mean, this Peter, the strong one. I mean, Peter, the defiant one. The one who just a few hours ago says, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." I mean, this is the strong man, Peter. We all know about Peter, right? But he is the most bold one, the one who just always puts himself out there. He was the one that says, "Lord, I am ready. I am ready to go with you no matter where you're headed, no matter where they take you. I will be there. I will be here. I will have your back." He says, "If they take you to prison, I'm going to go to prison. If they put you to death, I will die for you too." But yet, where is Peter in the midst of all this? Bible tells us that he's way out there at a distance, that he's way out there at a distance. Why? Well, when Peter's life was not in danger, he was able to make this bold statement. You know, he says, "I am ready." But his life wasn't in danger when he was saying that. He was in the midst of his brothers as in the Last Supper. He says, "I will be there for you. You know, I will support you." But now that his life is facing true and imminent danger, where did that faith go? Where was that bold Peter now? Where is he now? Is he standing in the forefront? Absolutely not. He's standing out there in the back, right? He's standing out there. But you know what? Truthfully, I don't blame Peter. I mean, most of us would probably do the same. You know, I'm not saying that we would apostatize our faith. That's not what I'm saying. But rather, we would actually dim our light, our Christian light, to the point of seeing but not being seen. Right? When it really gets tough out there, instead of letting our light shine, we kind of just put it on that dimmer, just bring it down a little bit. We don't turn it off, but we just bring it down a little bit so people just don't know where I'm standing. So we kind of fade off into the back end. But you know what? That's not what Jesus died for. This is the time when the light of Jesus needs to shine more intensely. This is the time when we're looking all around us and we're seeing all this dimness, all this darkness, all this calamity that's facing the world out there. Instead of dimming our lights of Jesus, we are to let it shine for Jesus. You have been given the gift, brothers and sisters, to go out to your family members that maybe don't know about Christ. You are to shine more intense your light about Jesus to them. You bring that light of hope to them. You bring that light that's going to guide them out of that darkness and bring them into the light of Jesus and hopefully bring them under the cross of Jesus. See, that's what we are to do. I mean, it's hard out there. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. It's hard. But you know what? He gave his life on the cross for all who want to come into repentance and come to him. This is why Jesus gave his life on the cross. It was because to show how much he loved us all. So people need to know Jesus. They need to know that he is here for them. Because he loves them, right? He didn't give up his life on the cross for a perfect person. He gave up his life on the cross for sinful man. And that's where we all stood. and we all stand there. So Jesus gave his life for everyone so that everyone can find their ways there. Now, Jesus will be there for us. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30 says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden." And he says, "And I will give you rest." You see where the true rest comes from? You see where Jesus is pointing us? He's not pointing us to some doctor. He's not pointing us to our banks. He's not pointing us to other resources to find rest and peace. He says, "I will be your peace if you come to me heavy laden and heavy burdened." He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you, again, will find rest for your souls," he says. "You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, where do we need to find rest? Where do we need to find peace? It's all found in Jesus. And see, and you will never know that until you really know who Jesus is. So, Jesus is inviting all to come to him. Now, you may not know of Jesus, he is inviting you. And those of you that know Jesus, he's still inviting you. Because even though you already know him, you are still not made perfect. His invitation is always open for us to now come to him. Because even though we still have problems, we still have illnesses, we still have diseases to fight with, we still have many, many hurdles and many mountains and many things we need to scale over, we can only do it with the power of Jesus, with him strengthening us. And he is saying, "I am here for you." And you need to know that. You and I, all of us fall into this category. We are all invited. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. Jesus is calling you. He wants you to rest in him. You can give your burdens to him, and he promises that you will find rest for your soul. That is a promise that we find, that he gives to us, that when we come to him, we will find rest for our souls. Jesus wants you to know that as a result of trusting in him, as a result of getting to know him, and we see him as the Father, as a result of that, you will find rest for your soul. Now, we all know the story of how Peter ended up, right? I mean, Luke 22:34 says, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times that you know me." You will deny three times that you know me. You know what? Sadly, this under pressure strong man denied his Savior. But let me tell you one thing. You know, a lot of the times we may find it difficult, and we may forget about Jesus, or we may forget that we know Jesus. Peter here just denied him three times that he actually was with him, or that he actually knew Jesus. But did Jesus ever reject Peter because of his denial? I mean, did Jesus ever say to Peter, "Peter, you're a lost cause"? Did Jesus ever say, "Peter, because you denied me, I'm going to deny you"? Let me tell you one thing, brothers and sisters. Jesus never denied him. And it was an answer to no to any one of these questions. Jesus' invitation to come all, no matter in what condition you find yourself in, is a daily invitation. It's one that you can come to him every single day of your life. He is there for you. Like I mentioned, you may have heard of him, but did you ever hear that he is waiting for you to come to him? Jesus doesn't want us just only to know about him. He doesn't want us to think of him as a cruel ruler that we can only come to him if we have been really, really good. Rather, the privilege of getting to know him is ours. It's our privilege. I mean, consequently, as we get to know him, the more we will understand his goodness. See, and the more that you understand his goodness, the more you will fall in love with him. See, it's getting to know him. Jesus doesn't invite you to walk at a distance. Jesus doesn't want you to fall by the wayside. He is saying, if you want, I can walk beside you. I can be there for you. I can sustain you. I can hold your hand if you walk beside me. I can be your shoulder to lean on when you can't walk no more. I can carry you when you can't walk no more. That is Jesus. And that's the invitation that he gives to us. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 46, verses 3 and 4, the word of God says, "Listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnant of the people of Israel, you whom I have upheld since your birth and have carried you since you were born, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you, and I will sustain you, and I will rescue you." Now, you say, "Yeah, Pastor, but that's something that he gave out there in the Old Testament times. You know, it was a promise to them." No. That same God that's making this promise to Isaiah and to the people of Israel, the same God is the same God that's telling you, "I made you. I will carry you. I will sustain you. I will rescue you." Those are promises that should fill our heart with the certainty, with the assuredness that God is there for us, right? How many can say amen to that? I mean, you may not know who is listening. I may not know who is listening in this broadcast this morning. I may not know in what condition you find yourself in today. I may not even know what fight you're currently struggling with. But what I do know is that I know Jesus, the Savior, that Savior who can bring rest to your aching soul, that Savior who can bring strength to your weakened body, that Savior who can restore your health, which illness has now taken over. I know of this Jesus who gave you life, who gave his life on the cross, so that you can have eternal life. I know Jesus who shed his blood on the cross so that your wounds can now be healed. I know Jesus who carried the weight of the cross on his shoulders and is now willing to carry the weight of your burdens. And guess what? I know Jesus, God's perfect Lamb, who gave his life as a living sacrifice so that your sins could also be forgiven. See, this is who Jesus is. This is who we now come to and worship. This is the Jesus that we now come to whenever we find ourselves in the midst of problems and troubles. And now he is there. He is there with open arms. We were singing right now, he is the way maker. I mean, a lot of the times we open up our doors and like I was saying, I listen to the news every single day. I listen into what everything that the mayor is saying, that the president is saying, what all the health experts are all saying and all that. And let me tell you, it can really weigh you down. It can really bring you down with all this negativity and with all this sadness. And they're saying that the next 3 weeks are going to be the worst 3 weeks of this pandemic. I mean, so they're really asking us now not to even go out for the next couple of weeks. He says, don't go out to groceries. Don't go out to the pharmacy. Just stay in. As you walk out these doors, you are to wear a face mask. I mean, you look at all that and we're saying, oh my God. But you know what? We can even find peace in the midst of all of that. We can lay our heads down at night in peace. And with that assuredness that Jesus is there with us. We can have the comfort. We can have the stability of our lives in the midst of all this darkness. Because Jesus says, I will be there for you. He said, I will rescue you, he said. And if you're really tired and broken in spirit and you don't know how to confront each day, he says, I will carry you. I will lift you up. See, this is the invitation of the Jesus that we should all know. Some of us know him, but because of this negativity, we forget that he has made these promises, that he has made these promises to sustain us, to lift us up, to help us to walk and to confront every single day with whatever it comes. He says, cast all your cares unto me. He says, cast them all. He says, cast all your anxieties unto me because I care for you. He says, I am here for you. as I bring closure to this message today, my question to you is, wouldn't you like to know this Jesus? That you can know how much, so that you can know how much he loves you. I mean, Jesus is right there. He's knocking at the door. And I don't know if you can see the picture behind me. He's right there knocking at the door. He says, if you don't know me, I am knocking at your door. If you know me, I am knocking at your heart's door so that you can invite me in and we can then begin to experience and this relationship that we had him. I mean, where is Jesus? Is he in your ears or is he in your heart? If you all have heard about Jesus, I invite you now to open your heart and now get to know this compassionate and caring and loving Jesus. He is there for us. He gave his life for us. A day in which today, Palm Sunday, we open up his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Some people shouting hallelujah. Some people shouting glory to God, all giving him praise. But let me tell you, in quick days, in 3 days or so, now everybody is shouting crucify him. And that's because they didn't know Jesus. They thought of this Jesus, that he was going to just deliver them from the grasps of the Roman Empire, that he was going to be that valiant deliverer to take out a sword and start overcoming all the Roman government. But that was not. Jesus said, this is not my world. This is not my kingdom. My kingdom is up in heaven. He says, and that is the kingdom that I want to usher you all into. And there's only one entry portal. There's only one way you get to that, and that is only by knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. So as we bow down our heads today, I want to invite those that maybe have not known Jesus as their personal Savior to take this moment and open up your heart. Open the door so that Jesus stops knocking on the outside and now invite him to come inside your heart. So right there where you are, let us bow our heads in prayer. And let us, if you don't know Jesus, I invite you to say this prayer with me. Okay? If you don't know him, if he is not your personal Lord and Savior, I invite you to now say this prayer with us. Bow your heads in prayer and say, dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn my sins and invite you to come into my heart, and I invite you to come into my life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. If you made this prayer with sincerity, God has forgiven you, and you are now his son and his daughter. We welcome you into the family of God. The only recommendation I have for you is that you now begin to look for a church that teaches the Word of God, the Bible, so that you can continue to grow and so that you can continue to know more about Jesus. And the more that you will know him, the more that you will love him. Amen. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time that we have shared together, Lord. I thank you, Father, for the victory that our Lord Jesus Christ has done on the cross. I thank you, Lord, for all those souls that are listening that for the first time opened up their hearts to my Lord and to your Son, Lord, Jesus Savior, Jesus, our Redeemer and our Savior. Thank you, Father, for this time that we have shared together, Lord. I know it seems short, Lord, and that we miss the company of all of our brothers and sisters in one church, in one place, Lord. But I ask, O Lord, that your covering of peace just be over us wherever we are, Lord, and that you continue to carry us, to sustain us, to lift us up, Lord, as we confront every day's battles, Lord. Today, as we come before your throne of grace and we share together in this communion time, Lord, I ask you, Lord, now to prepare our hearts that if there's any sins that we may have committed, Lord, knowingly and unknowingly, Lord, if there's anything, any obstacle, Father, that's keeping us from coming together in this communion time, Lord, I ask you to please forgive us, all of us, Lord, for our sins. And so that we may partake from this communion, Lord, may we share in that everlasting hope that our Lord Jesus Christ has done. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.